Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Progressive Medical.
And welcome to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. Everybody loves a good barbecue or a good cookout on the grill, but I have the master of both. I have Stephen Reichlin in the studio with me, James Beard Award winner, IACP Award winner, PBS star, Barbecue Hall of Famer, Steve Reichlin, pioneering, bringing the art of global live fire cooking techniques and flavors to American grillers. Thank you so much for spending a little time with us on Atlanta Living, Stephen.
Well, thank you. My pleasure.
Okay. Now, can you please explain to me, because I'm going to grill or I'm going to barbecue in the same reference, and people tell me that's not the case.
Two very different processes. So grilling is a high heat, direct live fire method that you would use on a quick cooking tender food like a steak, a burger, a chop, a fish fillet, etc. True barbecue is done at a much lower temperature for a much longer period of time. The mantra here is low and slow, and true barbecue always involves wood smoke. Now, with grilling, you may or may not add chips or chunks to your fire to generate wood smoke. It's not barbecue if it doesn't have wood smoke.
Okay. Now, what age would you say that you started your passion for grilling and smoking and barbecuing?
Well, it's funny. Like all people that possess a Y chromosome, I've always thought of myself as an expert, and when I lived in Boston for 20 years, I would chip the ice off of my grill in the winter and grill. But I didn't really kind of get involved with it professionally until 1994, when I started work on the book that would become the Barbecue Bible that came out in 1998. And it was only when I really started to research the books that I realized how little I actually knew about the field of live fire cooking.
But you were already on PBS and you had a show by that time.
No, actually the show came afterwards. So Barbecue Bible came out in 1998, and
okay.
How to Grill, which was the big bestseller with the 1,000 step-by-step color photographs, came out in 2002. And the first TV show, Barbecue University, came out shortly thereafter.
Okay.
That's a show named for a school that I run at the Broadmoor Resort in Colorado Springs.
Okay.
I still run that.
Okay. Very good. So this book, this latest book, Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades, based and butters and glazes too, this is so important because you can have a good piece of meat on the grill and it can taste wonderful, but you can up it up a notch with the marinades and the grill and the sauces that you pair with it. But this is where I get completely lost.
Well, absolutely. You can not only do you up the basic steak or chop or ribs, but you also give them your personal touch and an ethnic identity. So you could start with the same chicken breast, and depending on whether you use a Japanese marinade or a Moroccan marinade or an Argentinian spice rub or Texas spice rub, you can give it a completely different identity.
Now, are these spices and rubs and things that you have created and made up the spice ingredients yourself?
Well, many I've made up myself, like my basic barbecue rub, which is a 4-4 rub, equals to part salt, pepper, paprika, and brown sugar. But as in all my books, the first thing I do when I go to write a new book is I pack a suitcase, I start traveling. Because I'm looking for ideas and flavor combinations from all over planet barbecue. So in this book, in addition to my own recipes, there are also classic marinades that I've met from world-renowned grill masters, pit masters, restaurants, etc. But even those are kind of always refracted through my test kitchen and my way of doing things.
Well, you know, I've seen barbecue go from just the good old barbecue stand that's got the pit out back and smoking. It's made its way into really fancy restaurants on some gourmet menus.
It's pretty incredible, isn't it? You know, you have a great place down there in Atlanta called King and Duke.
Yes.
And, you know, obviously the focal point, the focal point of that restaurant is their massive Grillworks wood burning grill. But this is a major trend all over the country and, dare I say, the world, which is people using the world's oldest cooking method, which is grilling, but applying it in a fine dining, fine dining setting to fine dining foods.
Well, we also have a restaurant called the Pig and the Pearl. And, you know, you can get some elaborate barbecue dishes that have some very snooty surroundings. And it takes on a whole different taste and meaning when, you know, you're not putting the napkin in your shirt tail anymore.
What I love about grilling is that it's so utterly democratic. I mean, it can be down and dirty, it can be fancy and elegant, and it can be everywhere in between.
Well, let's talk about some of these rubs, because we have a weekend coming up here, and your book has over 200 recipes. And if you're tired of grilled chicken as I am, I mean, if I eat just another plain grilled chicken, I'm going to commit Harry Carey with a butter knife. So what can I do to my grilled chicken or any other cuts of meat to just really amp them up? What are some of the recipes in the book?
Well, let's see. You could start with what I call the only marinade you'll ever need, which is a basic Mediterranean herb marinade flavored with garlic, fresh herbs, lemon juice, and olive oil.
Oh.
And what I like about that recipe is it's completely customizable. So fresh dill isn't seasoned, but fresh tarragon isn't. Used dill. If you want to take it in an oriental direction, use sesame oil instead of olive oil. Use rice vinegar instead of fresh lemon juice. If you want to go more Caribbean, add chilies, add fresh lime juice. So that's a great place to start. I was born in Japan, and I guess I always have a natural predisposition and affection for Asian flavors. So I might take that chicken, I might give it a Japanese yakitori marinade and glaze, or I might give it a Vietnamese lemongrass marinade, or a Malaysian coconut milk curry marinade. You know, the point is, I guess for me, I think of this book, you know, if barbecue were fashion, this book is all about the accessories. And we know how important the accessories are to the overall look and great taste of a dish.
Oh, absolutely. Now, what is the difference in a dry rub and a wet rub?
Okay, a dry rub is a powder comprised of spices and seasonings. So one example would be like a Dalmatian rub, which is equal parts coarse salt and cracked black peppercorns, grated on brisket. A wet rub straddles midway between a marinade, which is completely wet, and a dry rub, which is completely dry. So it's a spice paste. It's a thick paste that you spread on a meat. Marinades and wet rubs, by the way, are great for lean meats because they add moisture and fat. Dry rubs are great for fatty meats because the fat's already there. So, you know, you just want to add that layer of flavor.
Now, how long do you recommend that the rub stay on the meat before you put it on the grill or the smoker?
Well, it depends on what you're marinating, and it also depends on the thickness of the cut. With a rub, you can sprinkle it on right before grilling, in which case the rub acts like a seasoned salt, or you can apply it the night before and let the meat cure in the refrigerator. And in that instance, the salt and the sugar and the rub actually do transform the texture and flavor of the meat.
Okay. Okay. Good words to live by. And this is all in your book, Steve Reichlin, Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades. And it's a great thing to have on hand and a great resource to have next to your barbecue and your grill. Now, when you're basting or you're glazing, is this something that you recommend doing it from the very beginning, or is this a finishing thing that you do?
Okay, so basting and glazing, that brings us to sort of the second opportunity to put on flavor. The first, of course, is when the meat is raw, and that's when you use a rub or a marinade. Basting and glazing, I like to wait until the meat is about halfway cooked. It's a simple health safety, food safety reason, and that is I don't like to touch a basting brush to raw meat, then put it back in the pot with basting in case, you know, there are any impurities or microbes. But if you wait until the food is lightly browned on both sides, then you start basting. You're basting on cooked meat, so you never have to worry about cross-contaminating your basting mixture.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And what are some of your favorite bastes or glazes that you like to use, if you'll let the cat out of the bag?
Oh, sure. Well, one simple one we use all the time, you melt butter in it, you fry finely chopped or thinly sliced garlic, and chop fresh cilantro. I mean, it's just as basic as it could be, but if you're grilling shrimp, if you're grilling seafood, that just gives you so much flavor.
You know what I love is I'm looking through your cookbook. I love how simple your glazes and your recipes are. Nothing is very complicated. Nothing is more than, I judge things by how many columns they take up. If it's a two column, then I'm out of there. It's too complicated.
Okay. Well, you know, in general, grilling is pretty simple and straightforward. Now, there are some barbecue sauces that, you know, involve a number of ingredients, but sometimes barbecue is supposed to be complicated, particularly when men get involved. You know, I think we tend to like to overcomplicate things.
Just to say you did.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Nah, but, you know, a barbecue sauce there, you're kind of thinking about deep layers of flavor and sort of playing to every section of your tongue, every section of your taste bud. But in general, these recipes are very quick and easy to do. Look, we live in a time, you know, in an age when nobody has... time is tight for all of us.
Absolutely. We're speaking with Steven Reichlin. He's the author of Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades. Some of his former books have been The Barbecue Bible, How to Grill, Project Smoke, New York Times bestsellers. You can grab them at any of your local bookstores or Amazon.com. We're going to take a break. We're going to be talking more barbecue, grilling, and smoking on Atlanta Living right after this.
This is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News and WSB. Our 24-hour news center is delivering updates four times an hour all weekend. You can depend on it. And we'll be here Monday morning, 4:30 tonight, with breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes when you wake up. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, back to Belinda Skelton.
And welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. We have on the line Steve Reichlin. He's the author of Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades, but in his library he has Barbecue Bible, Project Smoke, How to Grill. He's a PBS star, James Beard Award winner, Barbecue Hall of Fame. You've seen him all over the TV and publications when it comes to barbecue and grilling and smoking. So I have to ask you, how important is brining when it comes to the success of your meat project?
Well, brining is really gaining in popularity, and a brine is simply a mixture of salt and water. Sometimes you add sugar to make it a little sweet and salty, and sometimes if you're curing bacon, for example, or pastrami, you would add a curing salt, like Prague powder, curing salt number one or number two, or sometimes it's called sodium nitrite. And these are naturally occurring products, and what a brine does is it makes meat more moist. It allows the meat to absorb more liquid and retain more liquid. So that's a very important function. In the case of something like bacon or pastrami, it also is responsible for that distinctive pink color and that distinctive, in the case of pastrami, garlicky, spicy flavor. Brining is a great technique for people to know about if you're cooking chicken breasts or pork chops or other foods that have a natural tendency to dry out on the grill.
Okay, how long should you brine the meat?
Well, again, it depends on size. If it's something like shrimp, 15 minutes will do the trick. If it's something like a brisket or a pork belly to make bacon, you know, a brine could go for 4 to 5 days.
Okay, say your average chicken breast.
The average chicken breast, you're going to want to brine it for about 2 hours.
2 hours, that's it?
Yeah, it's real quick. I mean, you know, remember, chicken breast is thin. And you'll be amazed at just a simple brine, how much difference that makes when you actually take the chicken off the grill.
Oh.
This is News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And this is Atlanta. The food, the wine, the entertainment, the lifestyle. This is Belinda Skelton's Atlanta Living.
Brought to you this hour by Progressive Medical.
Welcome back to Atlanta Living. I'm your host, Belinda Skelton. I hope all this talk makes you want to get outside and fire up your grill or your smoker, whatever you have on hand, with Stephen Reichland and his latest book, Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades. And, okay, what is the craziest thing when you're out there experimenting? What is the craziest thing you've ever tried to barbecue or grill?
Oh, boy. You know, it's not so crazy, but tofu, and I probably shouldn't mention tofu on a show about barbecue in the South because that'll get me lynched. But anyhow, my wife and I, you know, for health reasons, we like to eat tofu every once in a while. And that's always a challenge to grill because it's so soft, it tends to stick to the grill grate. But I've come up with a kind of a few interesting methods. Crazy things on the grill. So I've grilled just about everything. Desserts, ice cream. You know what? Ice cream is probably my craziest thing on the grill.
I guess that didn't work out real well for you.
On the contrary, and you'll find this recipe in my last book, which is called Project Smoke. And I say grilled ice cream. What I actually did is I smoked the ice cream. So you set up a grill for indirect grilling. You have the ice cream super cold. You place it on a pan filled with ice so you'll keep it cold. It goes on a hot grill. The wood chips go on. The whole smoking process takes about 5 minutes. And you put a film of smoke on the outside of the ice cream. I like vanilla. And what it does is it sort of makes the ice cream taste like a s'more. It's absolutely extraordinary. And you will find that recipe both in Project Smoke and on my website.
Okay. Is there any weather that will keep you inside and away from your grills and smokers?
I'm pretty lucky. I've kind of organized my life so that I live in Martha's Vineyard in the summer and Miami in the winter. I have grilled in snowstorms when I lived up in Massachusetts, and I also do a lot of taping in Montreal. So I've cooked in snowstorms. I've cooked in rain. Umbrella is a regular part of my grilling gear. So I would say it'd have to be pretty awful out to keep me away from my grill.
That's what I was thinking. Okay, since you grew up in another country.
Well, I was born in Japan. I actually grew up in Baltimore.
Okay.
I was born in Japan. Yeah.
Okay, so how do fire masters in other countries serve their grilled fare?
Well, first of all, I'm glad you mentioned the word grilled, because true barbecue, you know, like we do, like a pulled pork shoulder or ribs or brisket, that's pretty much a North American thing. Most countries grill, not barbecue. Although I must say that American style barbecue has become wildly popular in certain countries in Europe. In Germany, the Netherlands, more and more in Italy. I'm actually going to Italy in October to film a new TV show for Italian television. So American barbecue is a very successful export.
Wow. Someone told me that it was that barbecuing was invented in the suburbs in depression times at a picnic.
Well, I think it goes back a little bit earlier than the Depression. I mean, in fact, George Washington, if you look at his diaries, He writes about barbecue a lot, including one that took place in Alexandria, Virginia, and it lasted for 3 straight days.
Oh, wow.
So barbecue has been part of the American tradition and culture really since the beginning of our country and even before.
Now, what is your favorite? I mean, you got to have a favorite. I'm sure you like them all since this is your thing, but you have to have a favorite.
Well, you know, it's a little bit like asking who your favorite child is. And
it depends on the day, and I can tell you.
Yeah, I can certainly answer that, but ultimately, you love them all. I would have to say, I love them all. What I do like to do is I look for the barbecue of the region. So when I'm in Atlanta, you know, you guys are masters of pork.
Yes.
I'll be looking for that. There's actually a great restaurant. I think it's called Market Barbecue, and they do a Korean-style pulled pork shoulder, and that recipe is in my book, Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades. I think the husband is from Texas and the wife is from Seoul, Korea. So, you know, talk about a fusion of flavors.
Yes. And do you like to see that? Do you like to see something so ingrained in the South having a fusion of such an Asian flavor?
I do. You know, I mean, barbecue, grilling, cooking, and life is constantly evolving. And I think about what I grilled 10 years ago or 20 years ago and what I grilled today. It's very different. It keeps evolving. Used to be that to get a decent brisket, you know, you could only find one in Texas. Today, Brooklyn has probably got as much good barbecue as Texas does.
Wow. And when it comes to the apparatus that you're grilling on, I bet you have one of each.
I have a lot of grills and smokers. Yeah, I do. I think the last count, we were well over 60.
No, you do not have 60 grills and smokers.
Well, that's spread over 2 homes. And then, of course, at Barbecue University, that's where the bulk of my collection resides, at Barbecue University.
Now, tell us about Barbecue University and what happens there.
So imagine a summer camp at an extremely luxurious resort for adults who love to smoke and grill, and that's Barbecue University. We meet once a year in end of May, beginning of June. It takes place at the Broadmoor Resort in Colorado Springs. And there's a very carefully planned curriculum. And what I try and do is walk you through all 5 methods of live fire cooking. You use each of those 40 grills and smokers that we have at the school. You'll learn how to cook entire meals on the grill, all the iconic dishes like ribs, brisket, pork shoulder, stuff you never imagined you could grill, like eggs, like pizza, like that ice cream I mentioned. And it's really fun. And this is I've been doing Barbecue University a lot. It was the inspiration for my first PBS TV show. Mm-hmm. But it's a combination. It's a great way to learn some serious skills and have a lot of fun doing it.
You know, I'm really starting to see that travel Epicurean vacations are all the rage right now, to travel to different countries and different cities and learn how to cook their cuisine. Is all the rage.
Absolutely. Well, if you think about it, I mean, food is such a we have to eat. It's such an elemental part of our culture and of cultures of people everywhere. And having, you know, for me, it's my favorite way to travel, because when you know a cuisine, it's a way to get very deep very quickly. You know, I'm not big for just riding around on a bus and looking at monuments, but going to markets, watching people cook, eating at local restaurants, being invited to people's homes, cooking with people, to me, that's the greatest diplomacy there is.
So who most would you like to eat your barbecue?
You mean what country?
No, what person, if you could pick one person that you could cook for.
Oh, to invite. Well, that would be President Obama. Actually, or ex-President Obama.
Okay.
I think he was such a gentleman and such a fine person, fine leader, and that would be one way for me to show my appreciation. By the way, my barbecue did get me to the White House a few years ago. That was during the when George Bush was president. And I went there as a part of a ceremony honoring writers around the country. And amazingly, they even included a book on barbecue.
Oh, that's great. So a barbecue book goes to the White House.
It is. And also, my book, The Barbecue Bible, is on display at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington as well.
How does that make you feel?
You know, it makes me feel pretty terrific. I mean, this whole career in barbecue started almost by accident. I mean, I've been a food writer my whole life, but I never really possessed any great knowledge or expertise about barbecue until I started writing about it. But it makes me feel just pretty fantastic.
I'm sure it does. Give us a few of your marinades and glazes that we need to keep on hand in our pantry for any cut of meat that comes our way, that it's just a staple that we need to have.
All right. Well, tell you what. Let me give you a rub first, and the rub is going to be called the basic barbecue rub. Easy to remember. Four ingredients: salt, pepper, paprika, and brown sugar.
Okay.
In terms of a basic marinade, let's see. Do you like things hot and spicy, or
No.
do you like things a little bit? No, you're not a hot.
No.
Not a hot and spicy gal. Okay. So for that, you know, I would go with a basic olive oil, basil, lemon, and garlic marinade.
Okay.
It's Mediterranean flavors, but, you know, they go great on everything. For glazes, it's pretty hard to beat a butter, brown sugar, rum glaze. That goes great on everything. Add a little soy sauce if you want to take it in a more savory direction. Add a little rum or bourbon if you want to take it in a sweeter direction. But with those condiments, you can do anything.
Wow. And through your book, you can help us cook and serve most anything to anyone and be proud about it. Stephen Reichlin with Barbecue Sauces, Rubs, and Marinades, thank you so much for joining us in the studio. And you can log on to his website, which is what, and find out more.
Very good. Thank you. BarbecueBible.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, and happy grilling.
Happy grilling to you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Atlanta Living, only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
This is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News on WSB. Our 24-hour news center is delivering updates 4 times an hour all weekend. You can depend on it. And we'll be here Monday morning, 4:30 to 9, with breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes when you wake up. News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Now, back to Belinda Skelton.
Hey, welcome back, y'all, to Atlanta Living. It is time for Breaking Chews. Now, this is our weekly check-in on all the up-to-the-minute breaking news about local restaurants, chefs, and festivals. I'm here with our favorite foodie correspondent, David Danzig, of the website BitesAndSights.net, also a food writer for Atlanta Social Season magazine, and, of course, BelindaSkelton.com. So the popular food truck has set up a brick-and-mortar restaurant and shelling out shellfish.
Yes, shelling out shellfish, exactly. So if you're a lobster lover, rejoice, okay? If lobster's your jam, set your GPS for Lenox Mall, and you must check out the new Cousins Maine Lobster. This is absolutely going to be your new addiction. So if you don't know the background story on these guys, they started about 4 years ago as a food truck in Los Angeles, two cousins from the Northeast, and they were looking to start a business, so they started importing these Maine lobsters and doing like authentic lobster rolls out of a truck. Really soon they got huge lines going. Next thing you know, they're on Shark Tank, the TV show, pitching the idea to take it to the next level. And one of the sharks, Barbara Corcoran, bought into the idea, and now they're off and running. So Atlantans should know the Maine lobster, the Cousins Maine Lobster truck that's been around for the last few years, but now they've set up in Lenox Mall, and you've got a brick and mortar to go to. So get your bib ready, order lobster rolls. They do the Maine style, which is you know, chilled with a touch of mayo and Connecticut style, which is served warm with butter and lemon. And that's in that perfectly steamed bun. They do lobster tacos, lobster BLT, lobster grilled cheese, lobster tots, lobster bisque. I mean, everything you can imagine. Clams, crab, shrimp. They make a little bit of an appearance on the menu, but the lobster is the real deal.
Yeah.
They really use piles of lobster belly meat. I mean, this isn't one of those things where you order a lobster and you're kind of like, they really could have used more lobster. This is absolutely stacked with lobster. The sandwiches are $17.50 each, but I'm used to seeing lobster rolls on Atlanta menus for $20 or more.
Oh, yeah.
So this is really...
And then the lobster skimpy.
It's in the lobster skimpy. So this is a really worthwhile splurge. Look for the Cousins Maine Lobster. It's near the entrance to Neiman Marcus. In front of the mall. It's a small space and the seating's limited, but if you can get in there and get your sandwich, and I think you'll absolutely be blown away. So I've got a link and photos up at BelindaSkelton.com. You can see all about it.
I can't wait to try it out because I'm a lobster fiend. You're listening to Atlanta Living only on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.